This morning's reading comes from Jeremiah 29, verses 1 through 7, and Acts 1, verse 8. These are the words of the letter of the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, the leaders of Judea and Jerusalem, the artisans and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Eliza, son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, whom King Zedekiah of Judea sent to Babylon, to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." Also, Acts 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Be to God. Thank you, Jeff, for reading our scripture this morning. Good morning, everybody. Grateful to the praise band for kicking us off in worship today and grateful to be with you today. Good morning. My name's Emily and I'm one of the pastors here. And if I have not had a chance to meet you, I hope I get to meet you soon. Want to try to learn more names and hear people's stories. That means a lot to us as a church. And I didn't get to meet anybody last Sunday because I was away from here. My husband, Scott, ran his first marathon last Sunday. Yeah. And I'm thankful I could be with him for that because he has said he will never do that again. Thank you for letting me be with him. I heard a story recently about two strangers who bumped into each other. One of the guys was carrying a cup of coffee. They bumped into each other. The coffee spilled out. It got on him, made a stain, left a mark. They were both not happy about it. And the guy who'd been carrying the cup of coffee had a friend who was a monk and went to talk to him about it and just said, "Oh, how'd I do that? Why'd I spill coffee on that stranger?" And the monk said, "What was it you were carrying in the cup?" He said, "Coffee." "And what was it that made you spill it?" He said, "Well, we bumped into each other." He said, "Well, what if you'd been carrying water in the cup and you bumped into him? And what would have spilled then?" And he said, "Water." And he said, "The reason you spilled coffee on him is because that's what you were carrying in your cup. When we bump into somebody, whatever it is that we're carrying is what bumps out." Be careful what you're carrying in your cup, he said. If what we're carrying is anger, if what you're carrying is resentment, vengeance, cynicism, that's what spills out of the cup when you bump into a stranger. Be intentional, he said, about what you put in your cup and what you carry. That's our impact, right? We leave on somebody else. We're in a sermon series talking about our impact. When we bump into others, when we're out there in the community, what is the impact that we leave on another? We've been talking in our sermon series about the practices that we put into our cup that we carry. Worship, multi-generational discipleship, missional service. Today we add in community presence. These are our emphases as a church, as we do ministry now, and as we look to the future. This is what we value so much as a church and how we live out our faith. The impact of our lives and our church on others out in this community. We've been using the image of a rock. And if you haven't gotten one yet, there's some in baskets at the back of the sanctuary. I invite you to pick one up and take it with you when you leave the service today, later. The idea is that God puts us in the community like we might drop a rock in the water. Makes an impact, right? It creates these ripple effects. What's the impact of you? when God puts you in the water, what comes out of your cup? Would you pray with me as we get started this morning? Holy and gracious God, get me out of the way today, I pray. That what is shared in these moments together in this time of worship is what you want it to be for all of us, including me. So that we hear what you want us to hear in order for us to be who you want us to be, Lord, by your grace and mercy alone. It is in Christ's name that we pray this day, as all of God's people say, amen. Last Sunday, as I said, my husband ran the Marine Corps Marathon. And I was one of many tens of thousands of people trying to get around D.C. to support the over 30,000 runners in the race. Trying to get to a place where I could check on Scott was no picnic. I was riding an overcrowded metro. Some of the stops were shut down. Escalators broke. Lines were half a mile long. Things got backed up. The organizers were not prepared for that many people. And along the way, I crammed into this tiny spot on Metro when I could finally get on, and there was a stranger crammed in right there beside me. And he saw me looking at my Metro map and looking at the race course and trying to figure out a way to check on my husband. And he was doing the same thing to try to check on his wife. He saw me checking and I was checking and we started talking, and then we realized that our spouses were less than a mile apart, running at about the same pace. What are the chances? Thank you, God. The two of us decided to navigate the day together. I helped him. He helped me. He held my stuff when I needed a port-a-john. I held his stuff when he needed a port-a-john. And we hung out that whole day together. In all that chaos, we managed to find our spouses three different times, mile 13, 16, and 25 and a half, to show up for them. To say, essentially, I see you. I care about you. How are you? I love you. What do you need? We're here. And what were you thinking when you signed up for this? My husband said it made all the difference in the world when we showed up. When you're out there running that race that is before you and having a hard time and struggling and pushing through, trying to put one foot in front of the other, not sure if you can make it. It means a lot when somebody shows up. Think about it, whether that's a marathon or not, whether that's trying to make it from one week to the next, in the midst of all that's going on in this world, and raising a family and going to work or not going to work and frustrated about that too, and all the things that are going on when you're trying simply to put one foot in front of the other yourself, and somebody shows up and says, I care about you. How are you doing? What do you need? We're here for you. It makes all the difference. As the stranger and I navigated this chaos together, God was up to something else too. Because the stranger opened up about his life. People often do with people they don't know are pastors. And he shared that he and his wife were impacted by this government shutdown. He's a teacher, but she'd been working all this time without getting paid. And he said, we're okay now, but how much longer is it going to last? And he said, I don't know what's coming. It's really taking a toll emotionally, financially, all of that. And I don't know how much longer we're going to make it. And then he said this to me. People are so divided. They can't talk to or hear each other. When will we remember we need each other to make a community? All of us supporting each other and showing up for each other like in this race. Amen. Then he asked, what do you do for a living? And I told him, and he said, every time my wife runs a marathon, I end up spending the day with a chaplain or a pastor. I said, I think God is trying to tell you something. And then we both laughed. And then we talked about faith. So in that enormous chaos, overcrowded with people, for some reason I had no doubt that I was in the right place at the right time. Those conversations, that day, the whole metaphor of all of us running a race, and that chance meeting had God's fingerprints all over it. You've probably had moments in your life like that too, where somebody showed up right when you needed them, right when you were struggling to put one foot in front of the other. Maybe they showed up and that's like God's love spilling out of a cup for you. Or maybe you were the answer to somebody else's prayer when they needed it most. You showed up with the love and grace of God to say, I see you and I'm here with you. That's the ministry of community presence. That's what we're talking about. Showing up or making the call or sending the text, somehow showing up for another person. Rabbi Harold Kushner says the act of God is not the hard thing that happens in life, not the shutdown or Hurricane Melissa or the storm. But the act of God is when the people of God show up to say, you're not alone. And I see you and I hear you and I care about you and God loves you and we are here for you. There are two sides to community presence, right? There's the intentional, carefully discerned and organized side of it. And then there's the bump into it, coffee spilling out of the cup side too. The intentional side is when we pray and discern together and gather information and want to figure out how God is calling us as a church to show up in the community in meaningful ways where God is already at work. We may be aware of a specific need, such as the playground refurbishment we're working on at Heather Impfield Day School in the coming weeks, or students needing extra encouragement at Colonial Forge High School, where we'll be showing up soon with cups of hot cocoa with messages we've written on the cups like, you're awesome, you matter, have a good day, you got this. Or being out at National Night Out not that long ago to be out in the community, or on November 5th, this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock in our gym, we're inviting furloughed workers, anybody impacted by the shutdown, and all the people who care about them to come and have a big old potluck meal together. Wonderful Wednesday, right? Come and have anything to share. Bring anything you want to share, and we'll be there together. We can't fix it. It doesn't fix anything, but it's a way to say we see you and we care about you and God is with you and you're not alone as you put one foot in front of the other in the midst of it all. Being there for someone who's having a hard time, showing up in support, that is the intentional side of community presence. Then there's the bump into somebody side. And what spills out of the cup and who we are and what we say and what we do as a follower of Jesus on any given day, wherever we are outside these walls, the neighborhood playground, at school, at work, the metro, the grocery store. It's strangers bumping into each other, neighbors having a conversation, colleagues caring about each other, catching something different in someone's voice. And then following up with, how are things today, really? Or tell me more. It's listening. It's shared meals. It's taking extra time. And it's God's love pouring out of the cup and leaving a mark. A good one. Our scripture passages today lead us to both sides of this community presence. So turn in your Bibles or your Bible apps with me to Jeremiah 29. This is a pastoral letter from the prophet Jeremiah, carried by royal emissaries from Judah to Babylon, written to people who were sent to live in Babylon, the conquering enemy, around 597 BC, BCE. So they were in a place they didn't want to be, amidst things they wished were different. They were exiled in that place. And what Jeremiah tells them to do is not to wait for things to change or get better. What he tells them to is to dig in and build a life right where they are. And he tells them that their lives are bound up with the lives of everyone else who lives in that place, their enemies included. Jeremiah says essentially it is what it is, and God has plans to give you a hope and a future beyond this moment. But live, build a life now in this moment, here in this place and time. Help each other. Make a home. Raise a family. Verse 7 says this beautiful line, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you and pray for it. For in their welfare, you will find your own. In other words, if your neighbors are not okay, you're not okay. Because our lives are bound together with the lives of our neighbors and our communities. And as my favorite stranger said at the race, we're in this together and we need each other. So we discern ways to show up and work for peace and community wherever we are, whatever the circumstances. Let folks know they are not alone and you stand with them. Get outside and dig in, Jeremiah says, together. And be that loving presence of God, the faith community, showing up in the midst of everything. In the welfare of those around you, Scripture says, you will find your own. Look at the passage in the book of Acts. We read from chapter 1, just one verse today. But that verse is taken from a much longer conversation between Jesus and the disciples. I invite you to check it out later this week. Jesus has been killed. He's been resurrected. And he's spending time now preparing the disciples to continue on his ministry before the ascension. And he says that the Holy Spirit will come and help them to carry it forward. We read verse 8, that little excerpt. And in the longer conversation, the disciples are asking nationalistic questions about when their home nation would be restored like they wanted. And Jesus told them they were focusing on the wrong nation, the wrong kingdom. They needed to be focused on his, carrying that kingdom forward. And the Holy Spirit again would help them to do it. What matters, he says, is my kingdom and who you are here and now, and you have work to do. You will be my witnesses to continue my ministry, and that call to them is our call too. Be my witnesses, Jesus says, not just here, but to the ends of the earth, not just to people like you, but everywhere. Anywhere, anyone out in the community, to be a living witness of God's love like Jesus, because Jesus won't be here physically, he's telling them, but they will be. So carry it out, he says. Keep it going. And the baton is also passed to us. Jesus says, do like I did, right? Love God, love your neighbor, love one another, love your enemies, feed the hungry, visit the sick, eat with all kinds of people, include the excluded, welcome the stranger, show up, follow me, he says. The vast majorities of Jesus' stories, you know, take place out in the community, not in the synagogue. They're out on the water, on a hill, in the town, by a pool, in someone's home while he was out walking. Likewise, we are called to do the same thing, follow Jesus out into the community to carry on his ministry. Be my witnesses, he says, wherever you are, in who you are, and what you say, and what you do, so that God's love is what spills out of the cup. It's that ripple effect, the impact that we make in the community. The ministry of community presence, you know, has both those sides. In a few minutes, you'll hear from one of our church leaders about the many ways this church is involved actively showing up in the community for others. As a way to say, you're not alone, we see you. We're here with you. We're here for you as the people of God. Your welfare is also mine. And community presence is simply who we are outside these walls whenever you are with another person. Be my witness, Jesus says. in all the earth with the stranger on the metro and the neighbor down the street. Let the mark we leave on another person be not coffee, but spilling out some Jesus. Amen. So that God's love is the mark that we leave and the impact of our being present and showing up in the community. Amen. And amen.